Thanks for checking out our Revive Church podcast. We're currently studying through the book of Ephesians, and we're honored that you decided to join us. We hope and pray that these sermons bless you and enhance your walk with God, your love for His Word, and His people. Feel free to pass these sermons along, but don't alter the content in any way or charge for the messages. You can learn more about us or contact us online at www.revivechurch.org. Or if you live nearby us in Claremont, California, feel free to come worship with us at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
I know under Ephesians series, Death to Life, we are almost at the end of chapter 4, and four more sermons or four more Sundays, and I think by end of November we'll be done. And because it's death to life, I was keep thinking about when I was keep reading, because Ryan likes to have a title of the sermon. And I said, it looks like, because it's death to life, it's a new life and new look. And especially in Los Angeles, who doesn't like new look, right? Right? Los Angeles is all about new look. Los Angeles is all about spending all the money. Everywhere you go, either when you go to Target or Walmart or Macy's or Nordstrom, wherever you go, you see lots of people waiting for you, right? You're passing by in the mall and people are calling you. There are people who wants to do nice hair. There are people who will make sure that your skin will glow. And, you know, it's all about new look. And no matter how old I'm getting, but if someone tells me you look different, you look nice, I like it. So what about those, in our spiritual life, there's a comparison that last time when I had preached, there was a comparison. And the comparison was about when you were Gentiles, you were away from God. And because you were away from God, result was you were living this kind of life. But person who is in Christ, now the Gentiles and Jews who were coming to church, now that you have heard the gospel, your life is like this. From chapter 3, chapter 4, now when you read in chapter 17, it's almost like when you are in a doctor's office and doctor will have all the blood reports and x-rays and everything else, and doctor is almost telling someone who is smoking, maybe drinking, not taking care of his body well, eating donuts and double and all those things. And doctor is saying, you know, you have all these symptoms because your lifestyle is this way. You have high blood pressure and you have diabetes, and pretty soon you will need angioplasty, all those things. The reason you are in such a bad shape, what is the root cause? Root cause is that your lifestyle is like this. You are smoking. You are not taking care of your body. You are not exercising. You are not eating right. And all those things. Right? And I think as you get older, especially in my age, it's very hard. I usually exercise 1 month before I have to go and see my doctor. So at least I can tell him. And technically, I'm not lying that time. I said, I'm exercising. Right? And now my doctor knows me very well. So every time he knows I'm a chemist and I know a little bit about pharmaceuticals. So now he has figured out how to talk to me also. So every time I go, I have already agenda that I want this test to be done. I just want doctor to sign off on that. And my doctor will say, so now you're saying that you started your exercise, but can you tell me for how long? And now I have to tell him the truth, right? I cannot just lie. And say, then he will come and tell me that, look, there is no point doing all this fancy test that you want me to do. When you already know the end result, you will know you are going to get this kind of results because your lifestyle hasn't changed. And now, from last couple of months, I'm working really hard to change my lifestyle. In the same way, in a spiritual life, Paul, when he's starting chapter 4 and he's going on with verse 17 onwards, he's pretty much saying that, look, you have a heart problem. You have a heart, or characteristics of a dead heart. Your heart is not functioning well. Now, if someone in your family, if someone has already got like heart attack, you will know that doctor will say, now because of the heart attack, some of your heart muscles are not functioning well because there was no blood circulation. It's like my father-in-law from long time, he's a heart patient, and almost 75% of his actually heart, the muscles, are not working because he had a severe heart attack. And only he's working only 25%. And because they're saying that, look, you have all these conditions because of these reasons. These are the reasons for your heart conditions. And Paul is telling people that people who are outside of church, or people who are outside of the grace of God, people who are living life without Jesus Christ, this is the condition of their life, and the root cause is their heart is hardened. So when my heart is hardened, what happens? They said, when you read, it said, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Why? They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And why this happened? They say, due to their hardness of heart. My or your hardness, especially when we were away from God, when we had not accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, this was our condition too. So here, first of all, when you read chapter 4 and verse 19 onwards, you will come to realize that this letter is written to people who are in the church. So the presupposition here that people who are hearing, or people who are going to receive this letter, and or when the letter will be read in the church, it is expected, it is assumed that people have accepted Christ and Lord and Savior. Because what Paul is saying, that this was the condition. Remember, this was your condition before you became Christian, before you accepted Christ. He said, remember, they are darkened. Now it's versus they versus us. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. So also, I want to make one disclaimer that when we talk about this sermon, and when we hear these words, it is expected, like Paul said, that this conditions, there are two conditions. Even you can be in the church, but if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the whatever I'm going to read right now may not apply to you. No, not may not, will not apply to you. Because you and I, when we all know, especially when we were away from Christ, my heart was so hard that nothing really matters to me. I think in my testimony, I was said, I was one of that stupid 16, 17 years old guy. I was telling people, sorry, Roxy, you will not like this. When the missionaries were coming, I had perfect formula to get rid of missionaries. I had perfect formulas. And in my mind, I was thinking that I was so smart, I was teaching my friends how to get rid of missionaries from your house. This me. And I was thinking, I'm so smart. Because like Roxy knows, as a missionary, the first thing they want to know, do you know Jesus? And I said, told my friend, say yes. Okay? Then the second question, are you born again? Answer is yes, brother, yes, praise the Lord. Now you go there in that particular street. Those people, they are really bad, brother. You go there. Right? I used to do that. And I thought, oh my God, I'm so smart. And my friend said, man, I'm so thank you. And I was thinking, man, these missionaries, I have to do this and I have to do that. And now they are coming and wasting my time because my heart was so hard. And I was going to church every single day. I mean, every single Sunday. Not every single day, but I was in church. And I thought that what I was doing was good. A good person will go to church. A good person will not harm other human being. Good person, when he has money, he sees someone who is in need, may give him all, give him some money or give me some help. I was doing all those things. But I had knowingly made up my mind, at least that time, knowingly, that Christ or born again, those things are not for me. And that's the conditions of heart. It's called almost like it's a paralysis of your organ, right? When we have some kind of accident and one of our body part doesn't work, either your leg or foot, there is no blood is not flowing, what happens? Even if you put a little bit hot water, you will not feel it. Why? Because it's hard now. There is no blood. There is no life. And that's what happens to people with paralysis, right? That they don't feel anything. And my friends, that's the condition of people who are away from God. Those people, they may think that what they are doing is good. What they are doing is right. But only after we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then we see that God creates a new heart. So it is very, I want to make it very clear that I hope and pray that when we are preaching and we are going through this series, Death to Life, I hope that truly, truly, we all will realize that yes, once upon a time I was dead, spiritually dead, but now I'm alive. And not because I'm so good or not because my doctor is so good, but because of Christ. It has to be. We have to know that. Because there are so many churches, there are so many people, they go to church, they do all the routine things. All the routine things. They sing songs, they may be even a worship band, they may be giving lots of money, but away from God. And that's the last thing we want. We don't want anyone to stay away from Christ. We want people to come. And that's the condition, the former condition. And we may all, especially us, we can claim that we are Christians. We have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now we can contrast that, yes, once upon a time, I was in that category. My heart was hard. I was alienated from God. I had nothing to do with God. My understanding was darkened. But now, they said, but this is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So when I'm dead, these are verse 17 to 19, 20, it goes all the way. And then say, what is the characteristics of a new life? In the characteristic of a new life, first thing is to put off your old self, which belongs to our former manner of life, corrupt through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirits of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. You know, I wanted to just give one small illustration, and I don't really know how well it will go in American context, but I think people in India, they know exactly what I'm going to say. You know, like there was one pastor, he wanted to do church planting. And most of the church planting usually starts in someone's family room. And people were coming, and pastor liked people to remove their shoes, so that his carpet, you know, can remain clean. So there was a one person, you know, he would remove his shoes, and he was a very nice person, but he would come and sit next to the pastor. And pastor noticed that, man, this guy's feet really smells bad. Okay? Now, pastor is saying, man, it's hard for me to preach. This guy's sitting next to me. So now in a church plant, every single person counts, right? You just don't want someone to say, hey, you need to really take care of this. So pastor was talking to his wife. I said, this is bothering me. It's hard for me to concentrate. So his wife, usually pastor's wife, are very smart. So pastor wife said, how about this? Maybe he's a poor man. Maybe he's struggling. How about we give him new pair of socks? So pastor went and bought nice socks. And when guy came and said, brother, gift from my family. Take these new socks. And pastor said, yes, my problem is solved. Right? Next Sunday came. Guy came, removed his shoes, sat next to pastor. And pastor said, it still smells. So after the church service, pastor said, brother, did you try the new socks I gave? He said, yeah, I'm wearing underneath this old one. He still was keeping, you know, and that sometimes happens in our life. The illustration I'm giving, because first is to put off my old self. That's the first thing. When I accept Christ as Lord and Savior, I need to put off my old self. But we think that Jesus Christ can work only in few areas of my life. So I need to keep my old self in case I need that. I have counseled many, many, many people. And one thing I have noticed is like when I'm counseling, there's lots of things going on. There's a really like everybody's mad and emotions are high. And person who claims to be Christian said, Pankaj bhai, you know, I used to be a really bad guy. And I don't want to be that kind of guy again. It's like after 20 years, you are claiming to be Christ and you still kept that bad guy in you. Somehow we keep that old self because we think that Christ cannot come here. This is either not too important for Christ or this is something that Christ cannot do. I need to take care of this myself and just fill in the blanks of all the situations in life where we pick and choose that this is where Christ will come and help me and this is I will go and do things my own. But my friends, one of the first requirements once you accept Christ as Lord and Savior is to put off my old self. But then I like my old self, right? I like it. Because you never know. I like to remind my people that I still am that guy. If you mess with me, then I will definitely come and knock you out one day. Right? We do that. We keep it. We keep it that way. But we have to, first thing we have to understand is that we have to put off our old self. That's the first requirement. And then my job is to put on new one. But then we think about, and then what happens that? Verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what I'm supposed to do. But Christianity, or when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not like moral ethics class 101 that we start going to church and we all of a sudden we try to be nice. It doesn't happen that way. It's not something that you on your own try to be nice or trying to change yourself. Why? Because what it says there, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's the God is the one who's creating this new self. It's created. It's not made. It's created. And you and I have to understand that it's created. But then what is my role? What is my responsibility if it's created? My role and responsibility is to work when Holy Spirit speaks to me, when I read Word of God, when I pray, when I meditate, when I'm in fellowship with other brothers and sisters. I have to make efforts. I have to make efforts to pull that old self and allow the Holy Spirit to create the new in me. And that's very, very, very important. And many times we forget. Many times our old nature stays. And I'm attending church for a long time, and I was attending church before even I was Christian. I'm attending church and I became pastor 20 years ago. And I have seen that sometimes people with amazing knowledge, when there's a conflict, when there's something's going on, all of a sudden you see a completely different side. I was talking to one of my co-worker, And he was so sad. And I said, what happened? He said, we had a church split in a big church in Irvine. And he said, it got so bad that we had to call police. And he said, it broke my heart that we were friends for all this time. And it became so ugly. It became so ugly. That's what happens. When deep down, I like to keep myself in case I need that. And then what happens that I'm not relying on God. God, who is a sovereign God. God can handle every single situation that you and I encounter in life. Every single situation. Every single situation. So you and I, we don't have to keep that. We don't have to say, no, you know what? I really need this. Whatever it may be. We have to allow God. We need to allow Holy Spirit to create the new in me. So when we are, there's the one thing is about when we were dead. Now we are alive. And now we are going to get new look. What happens when we get new look? It said, therefore, having put away, verse 25, falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So the question is, who is my neighbor? Right? That's the question. Is it like someone who is living next door to me? Or I was just thinking about it. Why? You know, like, it's like person on your, my right side is my neighbor when I'm sitting down on only this side. And then I said, yeah, these people always sit on this side. These people always sit on this side. Right? We never, like, I can close my eyes and I can say, okay, this person definitely will sit in this side. Who is my neighbor? And I love what Jesus, when Jesus was faced with question in Luke chapter 10, let's just read together. Luke chapter 10. Verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Said, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, first of all, he had no clue about eternal life. Because what his question is, what should I do? You and I cannot do anything. It's a God. Christ paid the price. So even his question was wrong. He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now this guy is really smart. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And now Jesus is giving me answer. Who is his neighbor? Jesus gives a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you need, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the man replies, he said, the one who showed him mercy. Now, remember, his answer, he did not say Samaritan. Why? Because why Jesus gave a specific example of Samaritan. Because Jews did not like Samaritans. Did not like Samaritans. So even though he heard something, but he didn't want to say from his own mouth. He said, that man. And that's what happens. Even within context of church, sometimes we draw boundaries that these people are just like the way we worship and the way we think and the way we act. So it's easy for us to relate to them, and that's why we start loving. And people who do things something sometimes different than us, it's very hard for us to love them. So first of all, when I get new look, the characteristics of a new look, like when I buy, why do I buy a brand new shirt, or why do I go to JCPenney or Macy's and buy nice Calvin Klein suit? Because I want to tell people that, look, I look pretty good, right? That's what I want to do. But if I buy and someone will say, so, man, this is very, very old shirt or old suit, I will not like it. The reason I buy something, the reason I spend money for all this makeup and everything else, because I want to look good. I want people, well, I do only a little bit. I'm just kidding. But what I do, I want people to notice that change. I want people to notice that new look, right? And that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes people are not able to see the new look in us. We may talk about it. We may wear a big cross. We may have big slogans in our cubicles or in our offices or Bible verses. But people may not see that in our life. So as one of the characteristics of a person with a new heart, a person with a new life, will have characteristic of person who looks like a new. This person who used to do all those things, but now this person is different. So that's one thing. Speaking the truth. Then be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. It just so happened that when I was preparing this sermon Tuesday night, be angry and do not sin. I was just pretty much thinking about this. And my son came and I really got mad at him. Because I said, why Gideon has become my responsibility now? I said, you are the one who wanted Gideon. And he gave his explanation. Blah, 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 and then I had already made up my mind that I'm going to be mad at him. So when I went to bed, I was still mad. And I said, yeah, but what does he say? Be angry and don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's already 9 p.m. Sun is already out, so I'm okay, right? I can be mad till next day. I can, okay? So what is it? I was just thinking about that. Even though, he's a very good son, and we are okay. I just wanted him to. So there is a time to get angry, okay? However, the time to stay angry is short. There is time to get angry. We do get angry sometimes because we are human being and we are filled with all these emotions. Okay? But see, there are two characteristics of good anger. It is based on God and it is mingled with grief. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, know this, my brothers, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Why? Because for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We may justify many times that because I'm so holy, because I'm so good, I was really weak in this area, or I can still say that I'm still weak in this area myself, because it was hard for me. Because when I was a kid, and I can go and I can preach this sermon in my own church where I grew up, and everybody knows me. But for me, I was living life in such a way where I was thinking I'm so good. I have not betrayed anybody. I was a good friend. I think I was a good son. So when I became Christian, when I saw people, they were always backsliding, and people who claim to be Christian, and people... when you see their fruits are so different, it was hard for me to have grace for them. And I would get angry. Because in my mind, I was just, how can you do this? But through prayers, and many times through my own sermons, and through my own quiet time, God made me realize that every single day I fail. Every single day, but God still accepts me. God sent his son, and his son died for me, not when I was looking really beautiful, but I was in my sin. So some many times when we justify our anger, even like it's a righteous anger, we have to realize that James is saying, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And Mark chapter 3 verse 5 said, Jesus, he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. He grieved because of hardness of heart. So they were looking at miracles after miracles of Jesus Christ. And yet they were still asking basic question. Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? So Jesus looked at them and they were asking same kind of question. And said he looked around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. So God grieves, or Jesus grieves, with hardness of heart when people, his people created in his own image. Not that they are looking for truth, not that they have not found the truth, but heart is so hard that they want to ignore every single thing that they are hearing, every single thing. And they said, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Now, this is, when you really break it down, this is really awesome. Because why do we work? Why do we work? I work because so that I can have something. I may justify my working. I may justify, right, that I work so hard. I wake up so early in the morning. I go too far for my job. Why? Because I need to provide to my family. So I work. Why? Because so that I can have. Thief steals. Why does he steal? So that he can have something too, right? So sometimes it boils down to the condition of my heart. Why? Because when someone steals, doesn't mean that that person didn't have enough. But it's just greedy. I need to have. And Jesus, this is completely upside down. It said, Jesus is saying, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Why? What's the end result? You and I work. What's the end result? So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And I think that's something we all have to apply in our own life. You and I, we have to work. Why we have to work? So that I can share with someone who is in need. And I think we are forgetting this principle. So many good Christian people, I talk to people all the time, and it's like, oh, at age of 50, I'm working so hard, I'm putting 80 hours per week. Why? Because my goal is to retire at the age of 50. But why? By the time you're 50, your kids will be out of the house. And you will have no one in your house. We neglect our family. We neglect our children. We neglect all the resources that God has given to us. Oh, church is not for me right now. I cannot volunteer right now. Why? Because this is my goal. It's such a good goal. So you and I, when we work, our goal has to be that I have to work with my own hands. Why? So that my ultimate goal is to glorify his name. I have to give people who are in need. Now, can you imagine thief not only supposed to stop stealing, but he has to work, and now he has to give. And this is what happens when person accepts Christ. The way we look at things, the way I deal with situations in my life, everything changes right away. For some people, it takes time. But the way I look is so different. and said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness with wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. When I speak, it has to be with grace. I have to speak with grace. Many times, the way my language, you know, me and my son, we talk all the time. And I remind him many times, and he reminds me, because we both have the same habits. When we get a little bit emotional and we are messing around with each other, certain things we use is like not good. And I said, look, if someone hears you or someone hears me speaking this way, what kind of picture that person will get? When I speak, it has to be with grace. It has to be grace. The way I deal with people, the way I control my emotions, the way I go and deal with my neighbor, everything has to be controlled, because now I have a new look. A new look, because it's a renewed, right? I'm renewed now. I'm created now. It's a new heart. And the new heart is filled with Holy Spirit. And that filled the heart, which is filled with Holy Spirit, the way people will come to know that this person is new when I speak, when I deal with people, when I come in contact with people. Because heart is something that you and I cannot see, right? I may look healthy, but you don't know what's going on in my heart. I don't know what's going on in my heart, just like you don't know what's going on in your heart. Because heart is something that is hidden. And many times, even though I may look slim, but if my heart has a problem, you and I cannot see that visibly. But when I run, and all of a sudden I can't even run like, 10 steps? Then you will see, like, I go to gym and, you know, I try to work out, and I can see that I'm running on treadmill, and like 3 minutes, I say, I need water. And then I see a person next to me is like 10 minutes, it's still going. So when I try to exercise, I know that my heart is still not ready. My cardio, I still need to work on that. Like my company right now, they just finished going on 78 floors or climbing several staircase. And people wanted me to join. I said, you know what? I don't think I can even do one floor. And people did 78 floors because they were getting ready for their cardio. And the average time for the 78th floor was 23 minutes. That was like the worst time. And there are lots of people, there were lots of my friends, they finished in like 19 minutes. And wow, because their cardio, their heart was so good. Heart is something that is hidden. And that's why when you see about heart, that, you know, in New Testament, in a Bible, heart is mentioned about 1,000 times or more. There's 1,000 times or more heart is something that is mentioned. Why? Because heart is something that controls our emotions, our anger, our joy, our sorrow. The way I think, everything else that reflects, that this is where the trigger is. So you and I, we have to guard our heart. The heart as center of hidden emotional, intellectual, moral activity. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Jesus says that the heart's secrets are betrayed by the mouth, even as a tree's fruit discloses its nature. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, 34. That's why I have to be gracious when I speak to people. Because whatever is going on in my heart, sometimes just going to come out. The emotional state of the heart affects the rest of a person. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. A cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You and I, we need to learn to guard our hearts. Because Paul is reminding people who were receiving this letter that remember there was a condition. You were literally on death row. You were away from God. Your hearts were hard. You were living in darkness. And through the grace of Christ, you are saved. And because you are saved, make sure that you put off your old self and you put on new one. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is renewing your mind. It's creating new person. Who doesn't like new person? We all like new person. But the Holy Spirit is creating. And there's something amazing that happens in our heart. We can see the way I talk to people, the way I deal with my family, the way I deal with my neighbors, the way I deal with my coworkers. Everywhere I go, now person is good. People are going to say that this guy is different. He used to be like this, but no, he no longer does this. This person is sincere. He works hard. He does not steal. Not literally sometimes stealing $10, $20. But I don't have to steal from my employer. When I go to work, I'm supposed to work. I have to produce with my own hands. Because now everything else is changing. No longer I only have to work when my boss is looking at me. Or only when my boss gives me assignment. No, I'm constantly working. Why I'm working? Because now it's new me. And I know that my boss may not be looking, but the Holy Spirit who is in me is convicting me when I'm doing something that I'm not supposed to do. And I'm not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's the new look. Death to life. Now people, whenever there were accidents or people after big surgeries, we see their testimonies. Oh, now I have a new life. And because I have a new life, because I have a new chance, because I have a new opportunity, I will do my best to live my life this way. Well, as a Christian, we all have got this opportunity as a new person. It's a new opportunity. It's a new life. So then I need to work hard. It's an exercise. It's a discipline to take this old self away, which was smelling. Nobody wanted that. Even I didn't want that. And I need to put on the new self, which is only created by God, custom fitted for us, individual custom fitted. And that's what we like, right? That's what we like. And that's the life we are supposed to live. And that life is so joyful. That life is so cheerful. And I say this million times. When I become healthy, spiritual healthy person, the way I will deal with my family will be different. I guarantee that. Because now it's Holy Spirit who is guiding me, is controlling my emotions. And when I wake up and when I go to bed, my job is to make sure that I glorify God in every single thing I do. So when I'm healthy, when individually I become healthy, the way I start, when I deal with my family, when that changes, that family becomes healthy. And when that healthy family comes to church, and when everybody like that comes to church, that becomes very healthy church. We cannot just keep looking for a perfect church. I always tell people, if you find perfect church, don't go there, because you will mess it up. Don't go there. I always tell, right? We have to, it's all starts with me individually. Individually. And I hope and pray that we all are aiming for this new look. I hope that we all have received this new life. If you have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we'll be here. There are many people in the revive that you can talk to. Many people in the revive. Because no one here should be part of that first one, alienated from God. We don't want anyone. Because the new me is so good. Because it's no longer controlled by me now. Now I rely on God. Every single thing that I do. Even if my boss may be giving me a hard time, I may not be getting promotions, I will not steal anything from him. I will still work 8-9 hours. Why? Because I know that my God is watching. And at the right time, he will do right thing for me. It's not my boss. And I have to start living my life this way. That's a new look. Let's hope and pray that we all have received this new life. We all want a new look. And if anyone sitting here, if they are not sure, I beg you to ask one of us, so what should I do? How can I find this new look, new life? Let's pray.